This is Toby. Welcome to the RPG Logic Podcast, a tabletop RPG podcast where we combine actual play with a critique and analysis of the game as played from the player and the game master perspective. The game we are playing is Battlelords of the 23rd Century, a game by SSDC, where the characters take the role of space mercenaries in a dangerous future. In this episode, we listen to the disorganized aftermath of the attempt on the company director's life and discuss conveying setting information and using skills. I am the GM, and the players in this session are Charles and Dale.
You had just saved the life of the director. Russell had Spider-Man outside of the penthouse suite here and escaped with the bleeding form of the director. Rob Roy had captured one of the two Eridani assassins, and Bob Grim Tinker had met and at the hand of the bartender who was unmasked as one of the so that is where we are. So you are back in that large chamber, lounge area. The security has finally managed to break their way through the doors, and the remaining assassin had leapt off the edge of the building and spread out his flight wings and escaped. And that is where we are now. Security has come. There are three of them, along with the, I guess you call him Major Domo, the guy who's in charge of the house, who runs things for the director. He's come in as well, so there are four people running in, and presumably they've called further security and ambulance to help the wound. What do you do now?
Well, I'm assuming we've all been stabilized as much as we can be at this point, or do we need to worry about that with the MBRIs and stuff?
You can get the household has some first aid equipment, but nothing major, enough to stabilize most of the wounds, stop the bleeding, and keep people's heart going as needed.
So they've got all that?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, the director is in an unconscious state, I assume.
Oh, yes.
And we've got a captured and subdued Eridani and the bartender.
The bartender killed himself before.
Oh, he did. Okay.
So he would not be captured.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Is the Eridani getting handcuffed? And?
Oh, so the security is one Eridani and two human, and they have... they've helped you out with the one Eridani that you had captured, and they've got him in restraints.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, why don't you start talking to that Eridani while we can? I'm going to go see what that disc was that he picked up right before all the stuff started happening.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like a plan. Yeah, I'll go. We're going to ask the security chief, the Major Domo, if we're going to begin conducting the interrogations now or if they'd like a report or debrief first.
Yeah, what happened here?
Well, we were called in for the meeting. The meeting was going maybe 4 minutes into the meeting, the two assassins just sort of materialized and started firing.
They were already in the room. Did they drop in through the open area, or how did they get in?
Well, if their camouflage systems were active, they could have been here the whole time, or they could have come in and we wouldn't have noticed. We were, in a conversation with the director and he was the one talking, so we were paying attention. That's our pay grade.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't see how they got in?
No, I did not, but we saw the one left. He had a wingsuit attachment on his armor.
Presumably they're both wearing wingsuits, including the one we've captured, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can see that he's wearing a wingsuit.
Right.
It's basically an attachment onto the armor.
We hadn't even really gotten into the subject of the meeting, so I'm assuming that I would assume that this assassination attempt has nothing to do with actual whatever was going to be said at the meeting. It's probably more having to do with the Caltra AMC situation. We should ask him.
Did they say anything during the during the?
If they were saying anything, it was hard to hear over the sound of automatic gunfire. They didn't say anything to me.
Okay. Yeah, let's ask the assassin what's going on. I'm afraid that I'm not particularly good with interrogations like this. Do you have experience with this?
No. I don't.
I don't think we have any specific experience, but we can probably start out by asking the guy some questions. We did have someone on our team at one point, which would have been ideal for this task, but sadly, he's no longer with us.
I see. Well, we can certainly turn him over to authorities. I assume the MC has some authorities, although who we would call, I'm not certain.
Let's call Romero. Well, he'll probably know who we should call.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, I've forgotten who our direct contact is, who is Romero's friend, and Romero was at the mine.
Yeah, your boss was Brian. Boy.
Brian Boitano?
Okay, hang on one second.
No.
Let me take a look at this. Your boss was.
Brad Moore.
Thank you. Yes, your boss is Brad Moore.
So we should definitely be in contact with him if we haven't already, obviously.
I'm assuming
he's still our boss.
He is still your boss.
Well, yes. Let's quickly give him a rundown while they're deciding. Hang on to that with the police. Let's talk to our internal security director, and we'll be right back to you and decide how to proceed.
Okay.
Brad, what's going on?
Yes. Russell, right? Yes, what's going on? What do you need?
We need a new team member.
You need a new... What happened?
What happened? We got ambushed big time.
Where are you?
We are at the director's. He should probably know where we are. I mean, I can't imagine we would have been in a meeting with the director without him knowing. Did you know?
Unless we...
He obviously does not know.
We're at a meeting with the director, who almost died after an assassination attempt by two cloaked Erdani sword saints who flew in, shot him up, and then one of them escaped. We've got one detained right now.
Oh, you do? Excellent. We'll bring him back to the... Let's bring him back to the headquarters, and we'll be able to interrogate him.
Okay, right. So the personal security of the director is interested in turning this one over to the police. How would you like to handle that?
I think he should be turned over to AMC security.
Okay.
Have the local police been called, or has AMC security been called?
Well, we've got probably fire response and medical response on the way here now. It's needed because the director is practically dead.
Oh, no. Is he conscious?
Not right now.
Okay, hang on.
Was that an in-game hang on? Or a...
He comes back. Okay, I've contacted security, and... They say they've already received a phone call from the director's department, and they're headed there now. See if you can do anything you can to help the director, and do you guys have any way to get you said you captured one of the assailants?
Yeah.
Do you have any way to get here?
Sorry, you kind of glitched out. Get him here?
Do you have any way to get the director? Do you have any way to get the captured assassin back to headquarters yourself?
Yes, absolutely. We'll grab the captured assassin, and what should we do with the director?
Wait there until the ambulance arrives. It should be an AMC ambulance. And get the captured assassin into your transport, because I don't want him going back with a regular security team. I want him going back with you and bring him back to me directly.
We're going to need a larger vehicle to carry him back, to convey him back. Right now, all we have is a couple of...
I think we can make do. What did we drive over in? I forget. Did we come over in two vehicles?
Over in two vehicles. One was the little ghost skimmer that Bob Tinker was driving that had the machine gun mounted to it. And the other one was the SUV-sized Go2, okay. Which the 20-size class is simple. And this guy's between the three of 17 size classes.
Wait, so between the captured sword saint, myself, and Roy.
Yeah, that's you're 17. That's 17 out of 20.
All right. We can handle it. We got to go. We have a lot of work to do. See you soon.
Right.
Okay.
I want to take Roy aside here and give a little discussion.
You want to take
did that sound a little weird to you?
Well, our conversation with Brad? No. I think
how would Brad not know what's going on with the director?
Well,
should okay, a metagame.
I mean,
here,
the only reason why we
knowing what's going on with the director.
I got the impression he's more like lower middle management than, and the director is the director of planetary operations for the company.
He's probably the director of the corporation, intergalactic or whatever.
So Paul Hsu is the director of planetary operations.
Okay.
So he's the highest person on the planet. And Brad Moore is more like you said, upper middle management.
Right.
So he does not have meetings with the director.
Okay. All right. So
it's
I was
entirely
just
possible
with
that the director would not talk to Brad Moore and tell him to send you. The director could easily just have you called to his place directly.
All right. So we got to make sure that there's no more moles hiding here that are going to stab the director in the back as soon as we leave.
Right.
And we're going to trust.
So we could wait around.
Like.
We could wait around for the AMs, Brad was going to send security and hospitals?
Yeah, when you contacted him, you said that security was already had already been called and was on its way.
Right.
So we can wait around for AMC security. Yeah, so we can wait around for AMC security to escort the director to whatever hospital facility he's going to go to, and then we'll take the Eridani. I think we should get extra handcuffs and stuff. or the
extra game mechanic
also
question.
We should go
game question
yeah so in this world the vehicle we have parked somewhere is it possible to essentially summon it to us or does that not happen
no you'd have to go get it you'll have to go downstairs first I mean yeah no you'd have to go get it does not have that level of autopilot
okay. So it's probably going to be quicker that security is going to show up in their own vehicles than we can go get that vehicle, right?
Does security have any? Sorry, does the house security have any non-lethal weapons like tasers and stuff like that?
Yes.
We're going to need
they
some.
They have what is it called? A neuro rod? I think it's. I want to say they have a Zen field weapon, which is basically a little short-range stun gun, you know, neuro cannon gun. I think that's what they have. Hold on. Stand by. Yeah, I think they have a Zen field weapon. Going to discover that that's, like, super rare and stuff now.
Nice.
Oh, my God, they have that.
Yeah, we're going to need that.
We stopped by the black market on the way. Incredibly rich.
Not only
no,
do we have a Zen field
very
weapon,
common.
We have two Eridani hands for sale. How do you want to make sure some guy can't cut off your head with his sword? Cut off his hands.
It paralyzes people by range. I think is that not the Chatillion in a can? No, not that. No. No, they probably have the synapse neutralizer, which paralyzes you. No, but that's rare. Neurocancer. I had figured this out. Yeah, no.
Probably
it's
not
Zenfield
the
weapon. It paralyzes whatever body part is struck. They have a couple of those. Three of them.
Okay. Well, we're gonna requisition one of them.
Right. So while you're requisitioning that, I think we need to do a cursory search of this captured Eridani and make sure we requisition anything off of him that other people who show up might be interested in, like if he's got a communicator or any other kind of informational type stuff on him.
Hidden weapons.
Well, obviously, yes. So we do a cursory search of him and take anything we need.
Okay.
That we don't want anyone else getting.
Yeah.
Is
so
is he conscious and
resisting? Oh, yeah, he's conscious and angry.
Can we fix that, or can we knock him out now? Did you get that thing? Hey, try it out.
Those I asked the guy, hey, I asked the security forces, hey, do these things work through armor?
They do work through armor.
Do it.
Zapping him in the head will knock him out if he fails his SMR.
All right. Does it fire like a cone or is it like a bead?
I grabbed the stick
right up on her.
Yeah, no, I'm actually asking the security guys.
Oh, it fires a beam.
Oh, okay. Well, then back of the head. Click. How many shots do these things have?
They have. It's important to know these things if you're going to carry one.
I think we just acquired one.
Yeah, we did.
It has 10 shots.
Oh, that should be good.
Awesome.
About how long can you expect an unconscious present to stay unconscious?
About 5 minutes.
What?
Oh, okay, man. So we have under an hour to get this guy.
Every time he wakes up, you zap him again.
Yeah. All right, last important question. How much does a clip cost for this thing?
50, I think.
Okay. Do you have any other clips?
He can give you a... What are you going to be using this for?
Subduing the prisoner and taking him... making sure that he gets to AMC nice and passive.
Right. Well, we haven't actually described to these folks yet. Yeah, AMC is taking care of the custody of this particular prisoner. So there's no need to contact local law enforcement on that behalf.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, so knock him out, and then we need to search him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You search him. He has the Spymaster, his Shao Kahn helmet. He has the Fist SM. A BS2 laser pistol with clips for the hammer fist and his longsword. And that
any markings on that sword?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure. Okay. Nothing else. There's got to be some sort of comm system that he has, though.
Some sort of yes, there's a comm system. There's a comm system built into the helmet.
Okay.
Let's take his helmet off.
Take his helmet off.
Well, yeah.
And shoot, it'd be great if we had some sort of technical guy. Poor Bob.
Well, I have a Shao Kahn helmet. I should be able to deactivate his comm unit or whatever.
No, I was kind of hoping to glean some information out of it.
Well, I mean, in terms of so it's not transmitting right now.
Well, there's that, obviously.
You know, because if we're going to take off in an SUV, and I don't want someone in a fighter jet coming up alongside behind us and doing what we do to people and flying vehicles.
Right. So, quick question with the security folks here in our team. Who's best at comms and computers and might be able to get information from this helmet? Anybody raise their hand?
They don't have anyone here who's particularly good at skilled at that sort of...
Rob, are you any good at computers?
I've got computers and communications. Communications 2, computers of 4.
Awesome. Have at it. Yeah. Well, okay. Is there anything you can do that won't take 4 hours and destroy it that could get us information out of this helmet before other people start looking at it? Like, what channel is the?
Oh, absolutely, there? Absolutely. You can obtain information using your using communications and computers.
Right, but I know sometimes we say that, and then you say, "Okay, 30 minutes later, you fail." By the way, the other guy died from bleeding out, and it's. I mean, so
no, that's
kind of my question. Okay, so we get what information we can from the computer helmet.
Yeah. So the computer helmet, the computer inside the helmet does not have very much in it. It's got it's been used to communicate only with one other helmet. You've got the frequency and. That is, it doesn't have GPS or anything like that. It doesn't have any breadcrumbs about where it's been or anything like that.
All right.
The helmet itself has, has, where is it? It's got a night vision night vision visor and flash compensators so that it's not going to be
Right, yeah.
affected by flashbang.
Okay. All right. Well,
That's
we'll just
cool.
have to save this guy and let somebody who can pick his brain do their job.
Yeah.
Have I recovered that disc thing?
Yes.
Okay.
You pick it up. It's a it looks like a plain lead disc. It weighs about a kilogram. And it is painted, or the material is painted to look like the surface of the surface that it was placed on.
Okay, so it was disguised.
There are no markings on it or anything like that. It's just a on the it's so it's painted on three sides or on, two sides on the edges and on the top. The bottom is not painted, and there are machine markings on the bottom.
Machine markings, you
So
mean
it's been
like tool
machined or
markings?
writing?
Machine markings, like it's been machined,
Oh,
ground
okay.
down to a specific weight, probably.
So where was it
Specific
sitting?
mass. It was sitting on the it was sitting on that that I told you there was that long camp of artifacts and statues and other art objects,
Right.
and it was just in one of the spots there. So if you look along, each of the objects placed a specific distance apart for the most aesthetic appearance, and
Right.
in one of the gaps there was a gap, and
Right.
in that gap was this
Okay.
disc, and you can
Interesting.
kind
All
of see
right.
where it was
So,
sitting.
quick question to the security team. Does anybody know what was here?
I'm certain that there was a statue of some sort there. I can't give you any details. I'd have to go back, and this is the major domo talking. I'd have to go
Right.
back to the house records. And if you leave your information here, I can look at. I've got other things that I need to attend to at the moment.
Okay, well, I'll give him more information to say that's probably very vital that you find that immediately.
Okay, I will contact you as soon as I can. And at this point, the ambulance pulls up. It actually pulls up the open air.
Quick question before we talk to the ambulance. The other two security guards. Okay, how long has Major Domo been working here?
He's been working with Director Shu for years.
Good. And the bartender?
He has as well.
Great. Did they both hire on about the same time?
No, I don't recall exactly when they hired on.
Rob.
Yeah. Is the AMC security here?
AMC security is here.
Okay, well, while they're while they're
And the
watching the
ambulance is here, and
Eridani.
their team rushes in, and they're taking care of the director and putting him on a stretcher.
Okay, I want to go while AMC guards can watch the Eridani. I want to go follow the Major Domo
I think we
down
both
to
do. The
the
major domo isn't leaving the side of the director right now. He's right next to
Oh,
him. He's
okay.
right near the director, making
Oh,
sure that he's okay. And
okay. Well, hey,
okay, well, is he intending to go with him?
no.
If he Okay, all right. Well,
I
I
asked one of
think
the security, hold on, one of the security guys, the house security, are there cameras in here?
there are.
Can you take us to the camera, the camera room, the
Well,
security
hold on.
room?
Let's decide our plan here. Are we going to let
Well, so
AMC
that we
take our
can
prisoner away and let medical take the director?
That works for me.
Okay, just making sure. Let me get a quick message into Brad Moore and say, okay, AMC Security's here. We're going to trust the prisoner to that team and take him back to the office.
Okay, you call up Brad. He's like, yeah, well, I'm kind of busy here.
Okay.
Do you have the prisoner in your personal vehicle? Are you headed back this way?
We're
We're gonna
going to
let
stay here
AMC
and follow up some
security.
loose
No,
ends, if that's okay.
don't do that. I want you to carry him in your own personal vehicle.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess
All
Brad's
right, so how
just
many
worried
AMC
about double
vehicles have
agents as
showed
we
up?
are.
There's two security vehicles and an ambulance.
Do we have rank over the security vehicles?
As troubleshooters, you can certainly not so much pull rank, but say that you were transport this the request by your boss to transport the prisoner on your own.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We are going to, at the request of security, we're going to take this prisoner back ourselves. You two stand here at guard. We suspect that there might be further danger here, and we're going to take both their vehicles and drive them down to the parking lot, leave one, pick up our vehicle, and then fly back to headquarters. Unless we need to stick around here too. What do you think, Rob?
I think we can review the camera footage at other times. So the fact that we have the disc will be able to probably be just as useful as knowing when the disc showed up. And
okay.
Yeah, it's we don't have enough. If Bob was still alive, we might have enough coverage to.
I know. One of us stay we're here gonna to have check. To let. So we're gonna go back to check in with Brad, or do you want to stick around here somehow?
I think we should go back, get the prisoner secure in an AMC facility first, and then we can come back here after the right. experts interrogate.
So we're gonna take both of those vehicles. Tell the security.
They're not gonna let you take the vehicles.
Okay.
All right, well, fine.
We need to keep the vehicles here.
All right, so keep one vehicle here. We're going to take another vehicle just to get to our vehicle in the parking garage and leave it there. You guys can go retrieve it later, and then you guys.
Yeah, one of the pilots. The pilot who is in the vehicle still.
Yeah.
Has not left. He said, "All right, I'll take you down there."
Okay.
All right, so we drag the unconscious Eridani.
Who's probably now regaining conscious, but yeah.
We can fix that.
Yeah.
Seriously, we're probably going to. I don't know how long the trip is, but we might want him more unconscious than not.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. I completely agree with you.
Although okay,
maybe we should avoid dragging him by his hair.
Yeah, I guess so. Especially if it's prehensile.
I don't think they like that. I mean, they don't like being beaten in combat either.
By a stinking Orion, no less.
Orion. Yeah. Oh, did you beat him? Oh, that's right. I let yeah. mine get away, didn't I? Oh, well. He's probably got a broken leg at some level.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I think that guy was not a double agent.
Okay.
And until I went over there, that's when Toby changed his plan, decided to make him double agent, and gave him a gun they didn't have before. He didn't have that written down.
Let's get started here. I am Toby.
I am Brian.
I'm Dale.
All right, so the first thing I wanted to talk about was, now that we got Brian on the line with us, I wanted to talk about offing your character in the last session. And basically, your character was off by what amounted to a bad roll, or a good roll, depending on which way you want to look at it.
It was definitely a freak roll.
Yeah, a freak roll. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, whether you felt that was... fair, unfair, what were the, tell me what you think.
Well, I now know in this game, if you go into the bathroom, wear full armor, including a helmet.
That's true.
Yeah, kind of funny. I was the only character with armor in that scenario, and I didn't bring my helmet, because why would you wear it to a meeting? And I got shot in the head.
Yes.
But, I was pretty good with it. I hadn't got to play the character too many sessions. There's only a couple sessions I think we got to do it since my last character turned traitor and left the group. So I didn't have much attachment on him. I did kind of I liked his backstory, and I was going to kind of get into him and have fun with him. So that was slightly disappointing. So it was more of not a felt that it was unfair. It was more of kind of like a letdown going, "Aw, man." But then it's like, ooh, I can make a new character. So, not unfortunately, but apparently I like making characters.
Yeah, well, that's just, good.
In this game. This last one, though, the backstory I haven't done very well, so, yeah.
So really, it sounds like one of the reasons why you're okay with it is because you hadn't used the character a whole lot. He wasn't tightly tied into any sort of ongoing story yet.
Yeah, he was already kind of the third wheel dropped in the middle of the mm-hmm. campaign with Dale and Charles. So that was as kind of made my third character to their party even more of a kind of third wheel outcast type.
So that brings up a good point, is integrating new characters into an ongoing story. But maybe we should table that until we listen to the session where we actually bring you in.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that I noticed I took a couple of notes on listening to the session, and a couple of things that sort of themes that came up over and over again were sort of confusion or not really understanding how the the session, the setting works. How does the technology work? How does the culture work? You know, everything from when I forgot what your character, your boss's name was, questions on how do the flying cars work? Do they have autopilot? All that kind of thing. And I guess I was wondering, like, you can't really provide a book and say, okay, this is how things go and expect anyone to read it.
Well, I think one of the problems is this isn't a game based on 1980s. And it's kind of like playing Battletech. If you play Battletech now, and you're going, what do you mean we don't have wireless devices and satellites? And it's kind of using 20, 30-year-old ideas of technology, and now we're like, well, everything's wireless. Well, why don't we have just a drone that we pop out of our pocket? And
yeah, so you're looking at the technology and thinking the technology is a little bit dated?
Well, yeah, you'd think that it's in the future, but yet they don't have what we think or what we have right now. And so that's why I think it's mainly that the way that it was written, which either have to, like what you're doing, is add in going, sure, you have wireless, you know, PDAs, and you're adding in some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had to go with actually how the book was written and going, no, you don't have. It's like if this is how it's in the book and you had to kind of read it.
Mm-hmm. So basically my attempts to getting the updating the technology so that it's not quite so dated clash a little bit with what you've already read in the setting in the book for setting. And so therefore it's a little bit hard to know exactly what.
Well, I think, yeah, it's more of like we're kind of expecting that it should be able to do this, but it really doesn't. But you've been fairly good about, or not, or you've been fairly nice about going, sure, it has this. Yes, it does that. And so.
Well, I mean, that's one of the, I guess that's one of the differences between gaming in the 80s and 90s versus what the kind of the gaming theory is now. Whereas gaming theory now is more, you can do what you want unless there's some specific, like, in-game reason or in-story reason why you can't, or maybe you don't have the points, story points or whatever it might be to pay for the, to get the thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've been kind of, well, okay, rather than me trying to describe everything that's there, relying or letting you guys have a little bit more control over the environment. Is there a table that I can hide under? Yeah, there's a table you can hide under.
So if you ask about it, then it might be.
Yeah, like during the fight, Charles was like, is there a statue that I can pick up and swing at the guy? Yeah, pick one up and it works as an improvised club. So I've been trying to do that, but
I think you've been pretty flexible in that respect. But as far as the setting goes, I mean, this is your world, and really you can make it however you like. But to pass that on to the players, maybe you just need to have a few more, you know, the flavor text boxes that you would see in a campaign. It's like read the box of description as we're going in and describe, you know, like 30 cars are flying over the cityscape that you approach this half-built building, and there's a bunch of other ones on the ground, and as you zoom in and land on the roof, and it's like it would kind of paint a picture of what it's like to be there, as opposed to it's like, all right, so we go to the building. Okay, or how exactly are we getting there? Are we going to look like we stand out? I mean, what is it like in this world anyway, kind of thing? So
yeah.
Maybe a little more description on your part from the cutscenes or something would kind of help us in that respect.
That's a good point, because then, I mean, that ties into one of the other concepts I was reading about recently, where it's if you want to have history or something in your game, that's all well and good. Don't expect your players to care about it until it becomes relevant. So,
true.
The same sort of thing. Here's setting information. Don't expect your players to care about it until it becomes relevant. Well, you're going to this place. Let me give you some description of what happens when you're getting there. Now it's relevant.
Right, and then that would be timely provided information that might affect how we approach the situation too, and a friendly reminder of what it's like. And mm-hmm. You know, things could be different too, because you've got different segments of the city that are drastically different from each other, too. So I mean, we may not have ever been there before. And when you pulled up the picture describing what the building looked like, well, that was interesting and helpful, too. So, I mean, sometimes having those background things visually or descriptively are very important.
Yeah.
And we've been able to do some of that. Like saying, hey, this is like, you know, how the new Judge Dredd movie is, you know, with the the block, the block housing or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Yeah, so tying in, okay, this is like that scene in whatever movie or TV show where they do whatnot.
Sure. Or, I mean, it doesn't have to be translation from one place to another. It could be like when we got down to the basement and we popped open the door for the server room. You could say, all right, well, there's a terminal down there and it's got a bunch of stuff on it. And you can see things that look like they're in the process of transferring information that look a little different than you would expect. For, you know, it's like give us some descriptive stuff that helps us know what it feels like and maybe has a hint of what we could do with it, too.
Okay.
Because if you say in your notes, it's like, oh, it's a difficulty level 4 terminal, and that may not mean anything to us. But if you say, well, it's behind this locked door and polarized glass, and you can't really, it's like the flavor of that, especially if we're going to be doing this in a more audible, recorded manner, would be pretty cool.
Okay. Certainly, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So, as a GM, how did you like it that we basically destroyed what you pretty much had written down and turned?
Well, don't we always do that? I mean, like, literally 90% of the time?
Well, yeah, you dropped a vehicle out of the sky that we were supposed to be chasing for, like, the next 3 days and flew up in, like, 10 minutes.
Pretty much.
But this one was, you know, two guys.
I wasn't trying to, but...
Well, two guys were supposed to shoot the guy and take off in bat suits, and we turned it into a 3-hour fight session.
Which we managed to turn around, I imagine, yeah.
Well, okay, so from my perspective, that scene worked out just fine. Because what I intended to do there was I set up, okay, this is the situation... And go. I wasn't trying to say, okay, and then the guy, it was important for me not to say, okay, and then the guys escape with, you know, kidnap the executive and escape. That was not ever my intention. It was, these guys have a goal, and each of the NPCs, so there are 4 NPCs in the room, each of those 4 NPCs has a goal in this situation. You know, the 2 assassins, their goal was to kill the executive and then get away, and they don't really care about anyone else. And the executive's goal was to not be killed and get out of the room. And the bartender's goal was to stay out of it. And
really?
Yeah, pretty much. His goal was to stay out of it, and there were some other things which I don't want to go into for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, so I set up those goals, and there's a certain amount of conflict inherent in all of those goals, and then I have a pretty good idea what you're going to do, or what your reaction to all of that is likely to be, and there. But if I had said something like, and then, you know, it has to be so that the bad guys escape, or the bad guys escape with the director or anything like that, then I'm setting up the situation where you've got the GMPC that can't be harmed and is going to escape no matter what. And that's just not fun.
Well, I think you did that pretty well, because I would assume that wasn't really the way you expected that to work out.
I had no idea.
So you've been pretty flexible. Now, I guess one complaint I would have is that it did seem a little bit railroaded in the fact that, you know, it's like, all right, fine, we're walking into a situation and nobody has armor on.
Almost.
Yeah. We got trapped in that room, and you would not let us out. So we didn't have much choice but to really to try and essentially complete the mission with limited resources. So that put us in a pretty difficult and drawn out fight to try and solve there.
That's an interesting point. The the doors were locked for the reason not so much to keep you guys from leaving, but to keep other people from, to keep his bodyguards from joining and helping, right?
Fair enough. But I think at one point we decided, yeah, we're bailing this scene and we're getting out of here. And then that just wasn't apparently going to be an option. So we said, fine, fine, we'll stick it out and fight it to the bitter end kind of thing.
Hmm.
The guy that didn't have hand-to-hand, he's like, I'll go, you know, get some cover.
Yeah, true. That's true.
With the other friendly NPC.
Now, I think the actual character death was interesting and fun. So in that sense, although, of course, it was one bad roll to the head, the whole fight, though, was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I certainly enjoyed it.
When we got to find out new mechanics.
Yeah. Find out all kinds of new mechanics. In the aftermath of the fight, I kind of feel that I don't feel like I was as well prepared for that as I probably should have been. And felt that what was happening was poorly conveyed to you guys, like the house security showing up and trying to take control of the situation, making sure, you know, are there any more assassins? What's the status of the director? And the ambulance arriving. And then when you called, this was the other thing. So you called your immediate boss and told him what happened. And then did you get the sense of what his reaction was when you told him what had happened? Do you remember?
He seemed like he was confused and didn't know what was going on, which wouldn't be surprising considering the situation as we understood it. Was that true?
Right. And then I think, so the idea was then he was supposed to realize that, if the most senior executive is out of the picture, there's going to be, a struggle to see who takes control. Right? Mm-hmm. And he knew that was about to happen. So he was all of a sudden now his reaction to things are going to start change is going to change. And he's more concerned about, okay, we got to make sure that, our department is, set up to well positioned to, be on top or on the winning side in the coming succession battle.
True, and I think that's a little bit beyond our pay grade, so we were just sort of assuming that whatever he was deciding was something that we would want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I think the aftermath of that battle, though, was really chaotic on our part, so it's like, fine, well, what do we do next? And
It was. Well, and also some of it, I think I told you that I came up with the idea of the succession battle. If it wasn't that morning, it was the morning before.
Before. I thought it was like the morning after, actually, wasn't it? Or
no, it wasn't the morning after. But it was right then. And I hadn't had a whole lot of time to process it and put it down and throw out ideas and then change them and update them so they made more sense and worked better. So it was kind of you're running on rough draft version 1 rather than 4. So that's part.
Well, I think the encounter in the suite there at the top of the building was actually pretty well thought out and executed. Granted, it was difficult, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, that
the following session I wasn't so sure about. So we can
talk
about
that. The battle up in the suite was easily revision 4. I had been planning that for a long time. And to the point, it's like, okay, I don't see how this scene is ever going to happen unless I just do it. So, I mean, it was literally one of the first scenes that I had planned for the entire campaign.
No, and I think it worked out even with the timing when you did it. So it's all good.
Yeah. So I just decided to throw it in. It was like, okay, we're going to have to do this now or it's never going to happen. But this last scene was just kind of, well, it was really version 1. It was kind of, okay, well, these kind of things, we gotta have, the police have to show up, the medical team has to show up, and the group needs to get new orders. And that's about as far as I got. I didn't get into a bunch of different revisions on how that might go and, or for example, what flavor text might work out well, but I'll definitely have to think about the,
are we talking about the interrogation scene now?
Flavor text. What was that?
Are we talking about the interrogation scene now?
No, not quite yet. So this was just at the villa.
So the aftermath of the villa, right. Okay. Yeah, but that's okay. Because that was intended to be chaotic, and whether or not it was planned that way on your part or that's the way it worked out because of preparation, it didn't really matter on our part as players. It's like, okay, yeah, this is kind of weird.
Well, so this also leads into the clues. So I was kind of – so we're setting up this – I don't know how obvious it was, but there's at least two or three mysteries set up in the villa right there. Mm-hmm. And because this was revision one, there's essentially no clues that you could get right away.
Yeah.
Like nobody knew anything.
Yeah, that's okay, though. But we haven't actually had a chance since then to stop and take a breath, really, to think about it. And, yes, we are aware of some of the clues, and I'm sure at least a couple of them will be interesting to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also had the questions of kind of what our guys really are, because they are just kind of hired muscle security, kind of investigators in that company. You know, how much on our own are we supposed to be, like, pursuing things?
That's true.
Or just following what, you know, our immediate supervisors are asking us to do.
Yeah. Well,
we could probably do whatever we want. Yeah, at this point, we really haven't kind of grown up and kind of exercised any will of our own yet, but that's okay. At some point, we can.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of goes back into the setting confusion. It's like, well, what are the parameters our characters are supposed to be operating within? And, you know, I think in general, for a role-playing game to be fun, the more choices you have, the better. So you should always strive to have the, you know, go with the most freedom of movement possible. Like, if you guys want to go do whatever you want, go right ahead. If I feel like your boss needs to pull you back and say, no, I've got, you know, the police chief needs to pull you back and say, I need you doing this. The mayor's in a state over the whatever's going on, then I can do that. But otherwise, you should always have, you know, essentially complete freedom of movement. Mm-hmm. All right, and I guess the last thing I wanted to bring up was we had a bunch of questions on the game system itself. How long does it take to do a skill check? And I think this is just one of the areas where in games, there are a couple of different ways the games can do it. They can say, okay, you're doing a skill check and it's instant. It's like, do I know this or do I not know it? Or is this something I can do or not do it? And, there's other ones that are like, well, okay, a skill check takes 1 hour and you know whether you succeed or not at the end. And because there's no rule like that specifically in Battle Lords, really, we should be operating on the assumption that a skill check is a skill check. You just go ahead and do it, and you can learn the information right away. And if it's going to take a lot longer, then you say, okay, I should say something like, all right, it's going to take you an hour to work on this before you can figure out if you fixed it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've done that in the past before. Normally is for, like, you know, computer searches. Okay, you didn't find anything in the first 15 minutes. Would you like to try again?
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
In the way we should do that.
Right. That's sure. Really the only difference it is.
Yeah.
Because we've been burned on it once. So,
right. Exactly.
And ever since then, it's like, well, hold on. I want to do something, but I'm not going to commit 4 hours of game time to it. So.
Well, that's why I think I should say, okay, if you want to go ahead and do this search, it's going to take 15. You know, it can take you 15 minutes to search, and you can make a you can do a check. But it's something you should know ahead of time before committing to doing it. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem fair to me to go, okay, well, that was half an hour. Now what do you do? Wait, what? No, I didn't want to spend up at that time. Now the bad guy's all surrounded the building and you've got no escape. You know, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. So I think that's just that's something that's a minor.
Well, you know what? This brings up another issue, too, with our party.
Right.
We don't have a full spectrum of skills that we should at our disposal.
Well, when my guy dies for the third, or leaves the party for the third time, that's why I was like, screw this, I'm making like a android computer character.
Well, actually, So, you know, we've talked. I've done a lot of hacking or home rules in the skill system, and the trying to make it so that you've got a complete skill list that is not so long that party of four people can't have all of the major bases covered is tricky.
Yeah.
And
well, there's only three of us.
Right, and there's only three of you. So that makes it even more difficult. So,
well, and also, we haven't looked at any kind of group template, really, to be honest. We just kind of like, I want to play Ram Python. Well,
right.
Me too.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Larry Curling Moe.
Yes. don't do that.
I have your next campaign.
Yeah, exactly. I can hear it. Or I can tell already. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things is trying to, you know, I'm not sure how we didn't really work at all on creating the characters on how well they kind of gelled. I guess at the very beginning you're saying, I think we need a empath.
You did kind of.
And so we did make an empath, and then he quickly left the group because he would.
Well,
like,
unfortunately, we never had an experience where we needed an empath. But then finally when we did, like the whole interview, interrogation scene, well, then we really could have used someone like that. But,
yeah, exactly.
So yeah,
now we don't have an empath, and now we need it.
Right, and we've never had any kind of security type, computery type people, and it's probably necessary in this sort of environment. So,
no. If we're doing a lot of investigative type stuff, then we don't.
And as far as all the transport driver stuff that we've, like, you know, I've got that in spades, but I don't think I've ever used it.
Yeah.
In fact, in the last scene, I had somebody else drive. That was awesome.
So another way you can approach solving that problem is hire an expert who knows computer stuff. And you have
well, we'd like to, but
yeah, you've got access.
We usually need them at the spur of the moment, though. So
yeah, they're not right. They're not there at the spur of the moment. So how would you feel about having an NPC? Me creating an NPC that you could use on a regular, you could go to on a regular basis.
Didn't like well, when we were in the mines.
Mm-hmm.
We're meeting up with Brad or something. I can't remember who we were meeting up with.
Oh yeah, Shaman, Brad's friend.
Didn't we have some like random fourth guy that just kind of like disappeared? some guy was with us. He's like supposedly like a weapons expert. And I don't know what
I'm
happened.
Not sure I remember that, but okay.
No, I was going to, but we ended up not. We ended up.
He just kind of
meet him. Yeah.
He was just like written off on the, you know.
I think we got the weapons aspect covered. That's fine. But you're right. We could use a couple of NPCs. We need the security dude and we need the interrogation dude. And given the setting of our campaign, I think that would be entirely appropriate considering we've got this team of people in this security group as a resource. We should be able to say, fine, we're going on this little mission. We know we're going to need this type of person. Put him in the truck with us and let's go.
Okay.
And I like the whole. Let's go in a convoy of two trucks and have somebody else driving and you know, we've got those resources. We should be behaving like a crack corporate security team, how they actually would do it, you know?
Okay. So I can certainly put together a couple of NPCs. What we'll do is we'll make it the same NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can, you know, okay, we need to go get an interrogations expert. You're going to always run into, they're always going to call up the same guy. We're going to need a computer expert. They're always going to call up the same guy. Unless, you know, when I play him, he turns into can you hate him? or he ends up dying or whatever, right? So we can do that sort of thing and add recurring NPCs to fill in holes in the skills list.
I think that's really kind of our only option, unless you want us to, like, multiple characters on each PC or something.
Yeah.
Which way would you rather do it?
Well, I like making characters, but then I'm also horrible already at actually playing.
I wouldn't mind making characters, actually. So, I mean, if you don't mind us playing multiple characters, that's certainly an option.
Well, but then also they wouldn't be main. We could do it where they're not main
characters. That's true. We could do, like, our main characters, but have our own PCs that we bring in specific scenarios. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we could do something like that.
How about that?
You can do that.
The article about making the settings history relative to the players is by Keith Baker and can be found in the Kobold Guide to Worldbuilding. This has been the RPG Logic Podcast. Thanks for listening. This show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor, as long as credit is provided to DrobiumDesign.com. Battlelords of the 23rd Century is a product of SSDC, music by Kevin MacLeod. Links and details can be found in the show notes and at DrobiumDesign.com/RPGLogic. Thanks for listening, and game on.